Hi, this is Alan Chartok on the Congressional Corner with Representative Paul Tonko, who I call my friend. He may not call me his friend, but
you're a friend, a good friend.
But I call him a friend, and I have tremendous admiration for him. New York's 20th district in office since 2009. Okay, so what are the top infrastructure needs that we have right here in your district?
Well, interesting question, and I think it's important for us to make that infrastructure outcome holistic. We do need roads and bridges money because of the deficiency rating that has been levied on many of them, many of the components. But we also need to modernize our grid. If we're going to integrate renewable power and distributed generation, we need to have a state-of-the-art grid, and that's very important. We need broadband. I think the COVID pandemic experience has taught us that broadband is an essential modern-day utility, and I think the efforts that we have underway in Washington are similar to those of the 30s of the last century, when there was a promotion for rural electrification.
Sure.
As a piece of legislation. The president, President Roosevelt, saw that not everyone was getting this commodity and thought it was not an American outcome. So broadband is essential. Water infrastructure. The subcommittee that I chair, that of Environment and Climate Change, reporting to the Standing Committee of Energy and Commerce, has under its tutelage the Drinking Water Act. And I look at much of the infrastructure that we have beneath our feet, beneath our communities. That hidden infrastructure cannot take on a out-of-sight, out-of-mind outcome.
Mm-hmm.
100-year-old pipes that are serving a basic commodity in need. Water's part of every life and part of every job, as we mantra out
there. So if they're 100 years old, they got a lot of lead in them, don't they?
Lead replacement is something that's been part of the bill that we did through the committee that went connected to the work of the other 12 committees that were assigned responsibility with the Build Back Better Act. We made that a premier investment to remove all of the 10,000 lead-infested pipes in the country, and we committed $45 billion, which is the projected engineering cost to do that. And we hope that the outcome will provide great resources. No child, no family should be drinking water that's infested with lead.
What happens if you do?
Well, there are learning disabilities that develop that we really put our kids at risk, and it's irreversible. And so we need to be sound stewards here of the water infrastructure, along with wastewater infrastructure, which is needed. So there's a lot of that demand. Our ports, I can very well see the ports along the Hudson in this district, the Port of Albany, the port at Queens. They are going to be go-to centers for what I think will be a huge offshore wind industry that will have components from this region manufactured and then shipped down the Hudson along the eastern seaboard. So this provides great manufacturing growth and great manufacturing jobs growth for the purposes of clean energy. And the offshore wind industry, I think, is on the verge of creating a brand new sector in our economy that will be innovative and that will be a startup that will provide a lot of jobs from blue collar to white collar to make certain that we get that all done in fine fashion.
You know, you're one of my favorite people that I interview and that I've gotten to know. You got a great sense of humor and all that. But I want to ask you a question. I've always thought, and I worked in Congress as an intern years and years and years ago, I don't want to tell you how many years, it seems to me it's a very hard job if you take it seriously. Is it too hard?
It's right now, I think the country and so the politics is so divided and polarized that it makes it very difficult because, as we're learning in this Build Back Better and infrastructure bill effort, every vote is critical. And when you cast aside a block of votes because of polarized outcomes,
yes,
it makes the job not only difficult but at times impossible. So, and when you do your homework and you see the need that's quantified, and when you really promote legislation that will address that in a very academic way and sometimes in a very science-based way, and you don't get support based on that sort of logic, it can get, you know, frustrating. But we cannot fail here. Failure is not an option. We, if we're going to have a more fair, a more just, a more robust, a more sustainable, more competitive economy, we need the tools in the toolkit that are 21st century. And so this investment in infrastructure, the investment in workforce training, and the investment in human infrastructure, childcare, you know, paid family medical leave, pre-K, early in education instruction, the opportunity for child tax credits, all of that human infrastructure is critically important if we're going to train people for a precision-based economy. And the skill sets that are needed are just that. They have to be into this precision economy with all of the latest skill sets, which will require investment.
Speaking of all of that, will the House Democrats agree to a much smaller package after Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema have pared it down significantly from the original $3.5 trillion price tag?
Well, it could be lesser, and it probably will be in order to gain the votes we need. But I would suggest that we first put together a prioritization list of what is essential, what absolutely can't fall off the table. And then there are ways to make, I think, the arithmetic work. If it's a later starting date, if it's a shorter tenure of a program, if it's cutting back on with some of the dollars. But I think there are ways to tweak it so that we're getting the sort of level of investment that we need, maybe not over the long period of time, so that we can then go and revisit down the road. But the important thing is to not lose a beat here. We lost 4 years with the last administration in combating climate change. And we see what is happening out there with wildfires and flooding and severe storms, coastal erosion, all kinds of people have now come to accept, I think, to a much larger degree, the concept of climate. And we can't fail here. And with the Build Back Better Act, we have an opportunity to reduce by 50% the emissions that are going on. We make a huge commitment to energy efficiency. As we retrofit our manufacturing centers, they'll be more efficient, more productive, and less contributing to emissions. So it's important for us to, across the board, not fail here, to make certain that we get the investments in a down payment, if that's what it is. But certainly to a large enough degree to make our economy work and to enable us to be truly competitive in that global marketplace.
Are you optimistic?
I am. I think that we as a Democratic Party have been introducing great legislation that is transformational and may be generational, actually. And I think that motivates a lot of us. You know, with the negotiations and the consensus building, people are all wanting to get what they can. They want to maximize. And I think when the deadline starts, you know, coming true, ringing true, it will get people to commit and we'll go forward. But the president has, you know, laid out a plan for building back better. The Senate introduced in a bipartisan fashion a more mini version. And there's very little to dislike in that bill, but it's, again, not enough. We need to pass both measures. One without the other doesn't do it. Let me explain that with the infrastructure bill, if we commit a large amount of money to physical infrastructure, we could be set back if we're not incorporating, a low emission outcomes. We'll be creating greater risk with some of the climate challenge. So we need to incorporate both the Build Back Better Act and the Infrastructure Improvement Act that was passed in a bipartisan fashion. One without the other just won't respond to the moment.
We love having our friend Paul Tunko on with us. Paul, we thank you so much for coming down to the beautiful, spacious WAMC headquarters. And it's really good of you, so thank you so much.
It's always it's always a pleasure to join you on the corner.
Yeah, on the corner here.